We're going to be looking in a minute at a story that we probably all know. And you'll see the screen. The reason I've moved over here is so you can see the screen. We're going to look at a story in the book of Acts about a lame man who was a beggar who was healed at a gate called Beautiful. Story that many of us know. And we're going to look at that just a little bit. And as we go through it, I think there are some questions we can ask ourselves from what we see. So just a reminder that we're having a look, when I'm speaking anyway, at the book of Acts. And the book of Acts is the record of the first experiences in the church. It contains the first gospel sermon preached by Peter, the first invitation given, the first salvations experienced, the first baptisms, and the first commitments to the church. Lots of firsts in the book of Acts. And if you remember back when we looked at chapter 1, we talked about Jesus' ascension. And when we looked at chapter 2, we talked about the day of Pentecost and the birth of the church. And we're turning our attention now to the third chapter of the book of Acts. We're not going in a lot of detail for each book. We're just picking out highlights in each one. And we're in Acts chapter 3 now. And we're going to find another first, because in Acts chapter 3, we find the first detailed miracle of the new church. So let's see where we are. So the church had really just kicked off a couple of days earlier on the day of Pentecost. And it had been very exciting. You remember that on the day of Pentecost, there was this sound like a rushing wind. There was these flames, these tongues of fire. And then the apostles, the disciples, went out of the room where they were and they began speaking languages that they'd never learned. And as a result of all of that, on that first day, 3,000 people came to Jesus and were baptized into Jesus. So now we're a couple of days later. And Peter and John are on their way to the temple to pray. We'll read a scripture in a few minutes of setting this all out. So they're on their way to the temple to pray, just minding their own business. And then this happens. See, the lame man was begging for alms from Peter and John, and he was healed. He hadn't asked to be healed. In fact, he hadn't even asked about Jesus. All he wanted was a few coins dropped into his cup that he might be able to get a meal for himself. So usually when we read Bible stories and when we know of people's experiences, usually you want to be healed. But this man wasn't. He wasn't looking to be healed. He's not looking for Jesus. All he's looking for is a little bit of change. So for him, it was a day just like any other day. His brothers had got him out of bed and got him dressed. On their way to work, they carried him to his usual spot at the temple gate. It was just an ordinary day. The sky wasn't bluer, the birds didn't sing louder, the sun didn't shine brighter. It was just an ordinary day like any other day. And yet, when that day was finished, it would be unlike any other day in this man's life. And that brings me to the first question we could ask ourselves. Today could be a day for you and me unlike any other day in our life. We could meet Jesus in all sorts of ways and our lives could be changed. See, when we got up this morning, it was just another day. But before we finish this day today, it could be a day unlike any other day that we've known. So back to our story, there's this man and he's laying there with his shriveled, twisted legs. He thought of all the days that he had laid there in front of this temple gate. And as he looked forward, it was like days were like an endless horizon stretching before him. And he looked down at his limbs that weren't working. They were his, but they weren't really part of him. He'd never felt them. He'd never moved them. He never ran as a boy. He never walked as a man. And today was just a day. No better, no worse than all the other days that had made up his life. But today would become the day he would never forget. And today he would change from being a beggar and he would be propelled into immortality. So he'd become a familiar sight at these temple gates. Every day his friends would carry him there and leave him. And all day long he would sit by the gate with arms outstretched, begging for money from people going in and out of the temple. See, in many ways, there was nothing wrong with this man. He could see, he could speak, he could hear, he could move his arms, but the one thing was wrong, that he had no strength in his legs, his ankles, or his feet. And according to verse 2, he had been in this condition since the day he was born. Think about his parents. They'd never seen him take his first step or pull himself up on a chair. They never saw him running around with other children. They never saw him climb a tree or kick a ball or playing sports. His feet and his legs were lifeless. His whole life, he'd been different from everyone else. And because of his legs, he was an oddity. And because of the culture that he lived in, he became a social outcast. Do you sometimes feel like an oddity? Do you feel like an outcast sometimes? Sometimes you think you don't fit. You just seem different to those around you. See, in those days, there were no laws or regulations that would have provided him with benefits or any sort of subsidised living. There were no schools which specialised in teaching people how to work with their disability, how to earn an income. Simply because his feet and his legs had no strength, Jewish society forced him to become a lowly beggar, entirely dependent on the compassion of others. We don't know who he was. The scriptures don't tell us anything about his life before this day and nothing about his life after this day. But on this one day, this ordinary day, would be written about by a doctor and read by millions of people all over the world. The man and this day are written about in Acts chapter 3. Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. As they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was being carried in. Each day he was put beside the temple gate, the one called the Beautiful Gate, so he could beg from people going into the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. Peter and John looked at him intently, and Peter said, "Look at us." The lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting some money. But Peter said, "I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I do have. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, get up and walk." Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. He jumped up, stood on his feet, and began to walk. Then, walking, leaping, praising God, he went into the temple with them. All the people saw him walking and heard him praising God. When they realized he was the lame beggar that they'd seen so often at the gate, they were absolutely astounded. What an amazing thing. This man, for years, had sat there, laid there on his blanket. And then he walked into the temple. Instantly. Didn't take a long course of treatment. It happened instantly. And all this happened at a gate called Beautiful. We don't know too much about this gate because it's the only place in Scripture where it's called the Gate Beautiful. According to Jewish historians, this gate was actually the gate of a place called Nicanor. But you can see why Luke would refer to it as the gate called Beautiful. It was 75 feet high and 60 feet wide. The top of it was made of Corinthian brass, and it was ornamented with gold and silver platelets. And because it was on the east side of the temple, it would have radiated with beauty every sunrise. For many people, this gate was of such beauty that they would hardly notice a lowly beggar sitting there. But as Peter and John were about to pass through this gate, the lame beggar asked them for money. That's not unusual. That's what beggars do. But if you look at verse 4, we find this. Peter said to him, "Look at us." So the fact this man was outwardly crippled was very obvious. But now we can see that he was inwardly crippled as well. Perhaps in his mind, in his heart, in his spirit. See, years of dependency upon everyone else. Years of begging had taken an emotional toll on this man's self-esteem. He had such a low opinion of himself that he couldn't bring himself to look in the eyes of the people he was speaking to when he begged for money. Your self-esteem taking a tumble? You find it difficult to look at people in the eyes when you're speaking to them because you don't feel good in yourself? You don't feel very worthy? And so interestingly, the first thing Peter did was to tell the man to look at him. And the next verse tells us that because of this, this man gave them his attention because he was expecting to get something from them. This was the normal expectation of a beggar who was lame. He'd sat by that gate and begged for so long, they didn't really have any expectation of ever getting above that situation. In his mind, in his heart, in his spirit, he'd come to believe this was his lot in life. And this what would be what his life was like, spreading forward. See, his greatest hope, his greatest expectation was that Peter and John would drop these few coins in his cup so they could go on being what he'd always been, a lowly, lame beggar. But somehow, Peter fixed his heart on this man. The lame man's expectations were raised. I expect he'd seen lots of people passing him by that didn't even look at him, or maybe laughed at him, or maybe spat at him, or even worse. But this time, when he looked up, he saw somebody who was interested in him. Now, he didn't receive what he was expecting, but he was expectant. And that's very important. You see, it's very sad that many Christians live today with no expectation. Some people have never experienced God moving in their lives in a dramatic or miraculous way. So why should they have any expectation? And actually, that's exactly how the devil wants us to think. He doesn't want us to be expecting that God would move with us. You expecting that God might touch you today? Wouldn't it be amazing if he did? But then, of course, we notice what Peter's response was. Words that we all know pretty well. Incidentally, I'm using the New Living Translation, which might be slightly different to what you're used to, but I find that a translation I get on with better. Now, Peter said, "I don't have any silver and gold for you. but I'll give you what I have. Peter was saying, I can't give you what I don't have, but I can only give you what I do have. I can't give you gold, I can't give you silver, but I can give you something far greater value and worth. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up. This man has spent his lifetime laying down, but a word from Peter and he got up to his feet. So what did these disciples have that was better than silver or gold? There's a psalm in the scripture that helps us to understand that. It's Psalm 19. And it helps us to understand what these guys had. God's word tells us that his words, the words of God, are more precious than gold. The first half of Psalm 19 says, the words are more precious than gold, than much precious gold. And the word that's translated precious is a word that means desirable. Something extra, something people would take a delight in. God's words are more precious, more to be desired than gold, than much pure gold. Now we know that there are different sorts of gold. And the word translated pure gold, precious gold, speaks of the finest, most purified gold of all. And today, we measure gold in carats. 9-carat gold is 37.5% pure gold, and it's the one that's most often used for jewellery and for decoration. 18-carat gold has twice this gold content. It's 75% gold, and it's much more expensive. 22-carat gold gets us up to 91%. Pure gold. And 24-carat gold is the purest and most expensive of all at 99.9%. That's as high as the scale goes. And that's what pure gold means. God's words are more precious than the purest gold. Not just any kind of gold, purest gold. So when Peter and John spoke to this man, they were speaking God's words. And that's why Peter can say, I haven't got any gold or silver, but what I have got is much more valuable than any of that. God's words are pure gold. And when he speaks to you and I, it's pure gold. And they're words that can change our lives. So what happened was that Peter took the man by the right hand and helped him up. And as he did so, his legs and his ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. Have you noticed that in Scripture sometimes you have to do something to see God work? Do you remember there was a man who had a withered arm? And Jesus said to him, stretch out your arm. He couldn't do that. His arm was all withered. But the minute he tried to do it, it was healed. And there are time after time in Scripture when we read that as we're called to do something, God intervenes. And that's what happened in this time. As Peter took him by the right hand and stood him up, as it did so, he was healed. For the first time in his life, he had life and feeling in his dead feet. For the first time in his life, he stood up on his own two feet. For the very first time in his life, he did what his childhood friends probably did by their first birthday. He took his first step, and then another, and then another. And pretty soon, he wasn't just walking, he was jumping, praising God. See, amazingly, not only had his feet been healed, but his spirit had been healed as well. And verse 8 tells us his new working feet now took him to a place he'd never been before. He went into the temple. And when the people inside saw this man, they didn't see this lowly, crippled beggar who used to be at the gate. Now they saw a man who had been transformed by the healing power of God. and a man who had been made whole, not only in his body, but in his mind and in his spirit as well. And this man is now full of praise. In verse 8 we read, he jumped up, stood on his feet and began to walk. Then, walking, leaping and praising God, he went into the temple with them. See, nobody told him to go to the temple. Nobody told him he should thank God, but he knew he had to. He just knew he had to. His very first act was one of praise and thanksgiving. He was on fire, and he wanted to share it with everybody he met. He didn't care if people were offended. He didn't wonder if they would turn away. He just wanted to tell them what had happened. And what had happened in the name of Jesus. Next question. Is praise and thanksgiving our first reaction? When we meet God and something happens, when in our ordinary lives things change, maybe there's some sort of provision that we've been praying about. Is it our first reaction to praise God? It was this man's first reaction. Nobody had to tell him to do it. That's what he wanted to do. And the thing is this, you know, there are many of us who are not complete physically. That's just the world we live in. And there are some of us who have a problem with a physical handicap. But we're all born with a spiritual handicap. In Romans 3:23, we read that we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. None of us are born worthy to enter into the presence of God. We're all born with sin and with a streak of rebellion. And the thing is that there are many people in the church today who are still crippled. You don't have to have dead, lifeless legs to be crippled. There are many things that can cripple us in our lives. Some people have been crippled by having a painful childhood, growing up in a dysfunctional family, having parents who divorced when we were young, maybe growing up with an alcoholic parent or growing up in an abusive situation. Some of us are crippled by guilt. Some of us are still haunted by skeletons in our cupboard. Have you never been able to forgive yourself and accept God's forgiveness for some of the things you've done in the past? See, we're not able to rise up and walk like this man did until we firstly allow the Holy Spirit to work these issues out in us. Until we release our pain to the Lord, we will never be able to rise up and walk in all that he has called us to. Peter didn't do what he did for Jesus. He did what he did to bring people to Jesus. The lame man that had just been healed was so excited that a crowd gathered. All the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said, "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see." What a powerful statement he made to all his Israelite people that had gathered around to see this man. And do you know what happened? As a result of that, the church grew from 3,000 on the day of Pentecost to 5,000 when this happened 2 days later. And it's God's will that churches should grow so that their impact into the community is greater. That's God's will for us, that we should make a difference out there in our community. And he needs us to be growing so that we have more impact. Praise God for the impact we already have, but there's more for us. And he wants us to grow and have more impact. See, in obedience, God provides opportunities. Peter and John, in obedience, were where God could move in this man's life. They were walking in obedience. We read that they went up to the temple to the prayer meeting. What would have happened if they didn't feel like going that day? When we're obedient, God moves. What the man wanted was money, but what he needed was healing. He wanted to fill his cup, but God wanted to fill his heart. He wanted a hand up, a handout, but he received a hand up. We have to be sure that where we're going and what we're doing is what God wants for us. It is so important that we know that. And you know what? This same God that was with Peter when they spoke to this lame beggar is here this morning. He's here this morning in this place. How can that be? Sometimes it amazes us, but that is the truth. He's here. And he can do miracles amongst us today. Just like that beggar who didn't expect anything to happen that day, God can do miracles amongst us. And it can happen today. It can happen here. Why don't we stand together for a moment? There's something in your life you need God to touch. Have you reached a place in your life where you think it just stretching out in front of you, and if something doesn't change, it's just going to be the same day after day? God can change that. It's almost as if in the power that God has, Peter and John walk into this room and say to you and say to me, look at us. Look at us. You feeling very unworthy. You feeling, oh, I don't fit. Some of these questions we've asked ourselves. You feeling nothing's going to change in my life. That's just an enemy that we have that's telling you that. Because everything that we face can be changed in an instant with the power of God. In an instant. If you feel somehow you need God to do something in your life today, just raise your hand right now. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm just going to pray right now. Just be expectant. Just be like that man who looked up and saw Peter. This is not just an ordinary day today. This is a special day that can change your life. Lord Jesus, I'm asking you now to come upon us, one after another in this room. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm asking you, Lord, to release healing amongst us. For some of us, that's a physical healing, and we so need your touch in our bodies. For others of us, it's an emotional healing, and we need to have our minds settled and calmness to come where there's been just this rushing feeling. For some of us, it'll be a feeling that's to do with that's to do with where we're at. For some of us, it will be, we know we've been crippled by some of these things we mentioned. For some of us, we are crippled and held back by fear and anxiety. And Jesus, come and release us now from all these things, please. In your name, Lord, we dare to ask for a miracle to happen in this place today. We dare to ask it, Lord, and we dare to expect it, because this is a special day in your purposes. This is not just another day. You've brought us for a purpose into this room today. We may not be too many, but Lord, you've a plan for each one of us, and you brought us here, and you brought us here for a purpose. And we want, Lord, to live in your purpose, whatever it is for each one of us. So now, in the name of Jesus, I proclaim release to all of us who need it. I claim healing for all of us who need it. I claim freedom in the name of Jesus right now. Please come right now, Lord. Please come. Hallelujah. Come and glorify your name, Lord Jesus. Glorify your name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen.